When we say government, a lot of times that's both good and bad. We think about the United States and we say, gosh, we're the greatest country in the world, and really we have great freedom and there's wisdom. And when the fathers put together our country and our government and our laws and things, I mean, some of it was just so amazingly well done. It's just hard to believe. Then you think about the government and you say things like red tape, and you think things like corruption and conflict, and nothing gets done. And if you give it to the government other than military, they mess it up. I mean, that's what people say, things like that. And so when you think about government, there's usually two broad views when you think about Christians. One is that they say, don't have anything to do with the government, stay away. We live under God, not the government. There's even been groups throughout history who say they're pacifists, that say, we don't fight, we don't do any of this, we just do our own thing. And there's even some groups in the United States that don't recognize the flag and don't recognize us in that way. The other view is that the government's really the answer to everything. If we could just get the right people in office, or get all the Christians in office, and then everything would be smooth and it would go great. So some people say, what you got to do is, we've got to really turn out, we got to get people involved, we got to make sure. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong, that's the other view. And I think the key here is the balance, that we recognize that the government is ordained by God. We'll talk more about that in a second. And we can have a part in it. We should. We live in a country in which you can vote, which you can run for office, which you have the freedom to say whatever you want to say. And so we have a lot of freedom. So what are we to do? So as we continue this morning, we're going to be thinking about the believer's role. And I want to get a quick review. And remember the three things: God and the government, the role of the government, and the believer's role and responsibility in government, or in the government. And that's what we're going to look at. If you remember, we saw last time God and the government, and we said that God establishes the government. Look at Romans, I think I've got Romans 13:1. Let every person be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. So we started off by saying that God actually ordains and establishes governments. We said, and we talked about this in my grow group, we said, you know, some people say, why do you have to have a government? Well, you've got to have some kind of laws. I mean, you've got to have some kind of way that people can operate together. I mean, how do you live together if there's no country, there's no borders, there's no laws, there's nothing. I mean, there'd be anarchy. So you got to have something that says, this is how this group of people functions. And so the government is ordained by God. God is the one who raises up the leaders. We saw in Daniel chapter 2, verses 20 and 21, that it is God who changes the time and the epochs. It's God who removes kings and God who establishes kings. And so you got to recognize that God in his sovereignty allows people to raise up the place of responsibility and allows people to be removed. I always think of the book of Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar, that God raised up Nebuchadnezzar. In fact, what is so amazing, I mean, just think about this. When you read the Bible, especially when you read prophecy, here God prophesied that there would be Nebuchadnezzar who would come and take over the Assyrian Empire. And then God prophesied that there would be Cyrus, king of Persia, the Medes and the Persians, that would take over the Babylonians. He prophesied that long before there were the Medes and the Persians. And he even called Cyrus by name. And by the time all this happened, there was a ruler by the name of Cyrus. He came to power, did exactly what God said he was going to do. So God is the one that raises up. And sometimes they're good governments and sometimes they're bad governments. And we looked last week at Proverbs 29:2 said, when righteousness increases, the people rejoice. But when a wicked man rules, people groan. And we have seen throughout history that when you put evil people, when people raise up the power that are wicked people, people suffer. Millions of people have been killed because of horrible leaders and horrible philosophies and those kind of things. I mean, just think of what's happened in the Soviet Union and, the turn of the... Oh, just all of that. And so you think through that. So he allows good and bad. He brings up people, and so God ordains the government. The second thing is the role of the government, and we said it simply, and then not to go into a lot of detail, but we said the role of the government actually is protection within the country and without the country. Within the country, dealing with our land, our laws, with the policemen, firemen, the government, the system, how we function, it's protection of the people. And without is the military aspect, where he protects us as a nation from enemies. And we have seen that. And so when you think about within, the police, the fire, the keep order, safety, the government aspect, but then outward we have military that is supposed to protect us from enemies. And so we've seen all of that. And so the role of the government is God raises up the government, ordained by government, and is really protection within and without. That's what we saw last week. So with that in mind, now we turn to us, to the believer. What is the believer's role in the government? What are we supposed to do? And so how do we relate to the government? Because remember, some people say don't have anything to do with the government at all, that we don't even want to acknowledge it, that we just come to God and not to the government. But then the other says government's the answer to everything. If we could just get all the Christians in there and run all the programs the right way, everything would be fine. So what is the role? Well, the first thing we understand is that believers are to be subject to our government. We're to come under the authority of the government. Look again at Romans 13, verse 1 says, let every person be in subjection to the governing authority. So that means all of us come under the laws of our government, wherever you live. Now, that meant that Paul came under the laws of the Roman government, and Daniel came under the laws of the Babylonian government and the Medo-Persian government when he lived there. And when you look back through history, the believer's responsibility is to come under whatever government. Now, sometimes people say, we got out of that country and we went somewhere else. Okay, that's good. If you can do that. But let every person be subject to the governing authorities. And he says, why? Why? Because there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. That's Romans 13:1, and we're going to see verse 13:2 in just a second. So God establishes it, and we're to come under that authority. That means when the government sets laws, we're to obey those laws. That means if it says you can't go but 70, and you're going 78 and 79, and they pull you over, you've broken the laws, and you expect to have the consequences there. And there are other laws that God, think about the laws in our country. And there's a lot of laws, and there's laws that we'd say, well, I don't like that law. I don't like to do that. But as long as we're in our country, we obey those laws. Now, we're going to talk more in a minute about is there time to disobey. But let's talk about it. Why there's no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God, and they come from God. So Romans 13:2 says this, therefore, he who resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and those who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. He basically says when you go against the laws of your government, you can expect there will be consequences. I mean, that's just natural. If you disobey the law, if it says don't walk in the grass and you walk in the grass, they might fine you. If you park and it says don't park in there, they may come and tow your car away. That's consequences. And you say, well, that's not really fair. Well, no, the law said don't park there and you parked there. And so we can resist. In fact, that's what he says. Therefore, who resists the authorities, which is opposed to the ordinances of God, and then they can have the condemnation. There will be discipline. Okay? And that's kind of, when you think about that, you go, wow, whatever country you live in, wherever it is. And we would say, well, I'm just thankful we're in the United States because we got all kind of freedom and the laws are, most of the laws seem to be fairly just and all of these things. But there's other parts of the world where the laws aren't as just and those kind of things. And we say, well, but God has ordained those, allowed those governments to come to power. And so here's the deal. He says this, we being subject, obey the laws. Why? Because it's necessary, as he says, did I put that verse up? Yeah, because there could be condemnation. So there will be discipline when we don't do what we're supposed to do. So he says, be in subjection, obey the laws. I like this. This is in 1 Peter. Look what he says here. Submit yourself for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it's to a king as one in authority or to governors, as sent by God for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. Now, we talked about it and said that the role of the government was to punish evil. When people break the laws, when people do bad things, when people kill, when people murder, when people steal, when people lie, they're supposed to be punished for that. That's supposed to be the law of the government. And at the same time, it says it's praise for those who do what is right. So the bottom line is we're supposed to do what is right. We're to come under the authority and do what is right. And then this other verse says, for such is the will of God that by doing right you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. He basically says live righteously in a fallen world and obey the laws that you come under. Now that raises the question, what if it's a bad government? What if the government is contrary? What if the government is telling us to do things? What if the government is corrupt? Are there times that to disobey our government or to not be in subjection to the government? Are there times to do that? And we say, well, yeah. And because we say, well, first of all, remember this. regardless of whether we consider the law just or not, regardless of whether we consider the law is biblical or not, and even if the law is contrary to the Bible, when you disobey it, any of those things, there are going to be consequences. If they said to us, you can no longer use a Bible, when you meet as so-called Christians, as they said, you cannot have teaching from the Bible, then we're going to have teaching from the Bible, and we're going to, whatever consequences it may be, they could shut us down, they could put me in prison, they could put y'all in prison, they could do, but we're going to do what we think is right, but there are consequences there. So if it says don't park there and you park there, there are consequences there. What if it's bad? What if there's bad laws that you don't like? Whenever you break those laws, there are consequences. And for those of us who know Christ, we say this consequence, it doesn't matter to us because we're not going to disobey the Bible. Because see, sometimes we say whenever our government tells us to do something that is contrary to the Word of God, we can go against it. If the Bible, if the government, listen, we already know, we got some guy running for president that says that if we say anything bad about people who view differently about lifestyle and those things, that he will remove the tax-exempt status of churches. Well, first of all, I don't care what he does or not. If you give based on the fact you get a tax return, then that's a problem to begin with. We should give no matter what, whether the government okays any of that or not. But he says, I'm going to take away their status if they don't do what I think they should do, because he interprets a passage differently than we do, or he actually denies a passage that we hold to. And so what if somebody gets into a place of government and says, you can only meet on a certain day? There are places in California that you can't have a home Bible study. They say it's illegal to gather there because the cars, they don't want you having, and we'd say, wait a minute, you're telling me we can't have a Bible study in our house? We can have a Bible study in my house, and I can do anything I want to in my house. You know, and if, I mean, there may be consequences, but I'm not, you know, we're not stopping that sort of thing. So, Lord willing, we got the greatest country in the world, but what if it is? What if our government tells us to do something that's contrary to the Word of God? We can go opposed to it. Acts chapter 4, if you remember, 17 through 20, they told them that they could not proclaim. The religious leaders brought in Peter and James and John, and they said, you can no longer talk about this Jesus and talk about him raising from the dead. We forbid you to do that. And they went out and they did it, and they arrested them and brought them back and beat them and said, we told you to stop doing it. And they said, we will always obey God rather than men. So anytime that our government officials, we must obey God rather than men. Oh, we've always got to do what the Bible says, regardless of what the laws are. Now, we may suffer consequences. We may suffer consequences because we live in. What if we lived in a country that says it is illegal to have a Bible? There are countries that are illegal to have a Bible. We're sneaking them in all the time, by the way. You know that Christians are sneaking Bibles in all the time to different people, right? But what if you lived in a country that it was illegal to have a Bible? Would you have a Bible? I probably would. You know, what if they catch you? What's going to happen to you? Who knows what's going to happen to you? But is that what, does God say to us, study the Bible, know the Bible, live it out? Well, if you don't have one, you know, you may say, I want one. I'm going to get one. We must obey God rather than men. I want you to think about some times throughout history. Three things. Number one, in Exodus chapter 1, the midwives. If you remember that the Jewish people were populating so much that they decided that if it was a boy baby born, the Egyptian government said, if there's a boy baby born, put him to death. And so there were two Shiphrah and Purah. They were the two midwives in Exodus, and they didn't want to do that. They thought it was wrong to kill babies. And so when the Egyptian government told them, and we don't even know where they stood, whether they were believers or not, they just said it's wrong to kill babies, especially Hebrew boys. And so they lied, actually, when the government came in down to them and said, why are these Hebrew women having these baby boys and getting away with it? And they said, well, the Hebrew women are so vigorous, they have babies quickly, and by the time we get there as midwives, they already got the baby and they're gone. And that may have been true. Who knows? And that's why they later on and said, we will kill every boy baby. That's why they had to hide Moses, because the laws changed. At first, after the baby's born, kill him. Then it didn't matter. We're going to kill them all. And so they hid Moses. So those women stood strong. And it says, and God blessed them for what they did. And it actually goes on to say, and gave them babies of their own. The second one is in Daniel, when Daniel refuses to eat the food. You remember that they got there, and Daniel lived under the Mosaic Law, and there were certain foods you could eat and certain foods you couldn't eat. And here they are taken off to a whole new culture. Nobody's around. There's no parents. They're like 14 years old. They can do whatever they want to do, or so they think. And they tell Daniel, you got to eat this food. And Daniel says, I've never eaten that kind of food, and I'm not going to. So he actually went up the chain of command and said, is there any way that y'all could give me vegetables instead of these food and try it? And they actually tested it, and it came out okay. But he was refusing to eat that. And then you think, of course, in Daniel chapter 3, where the boys, we call them Hebrew boys. We don't know how old they were at this time. But Nebuchadnezzar says, you see the big statue? Everybody's got to bow down. If you don't bow down, I'll throw you in the fiery furnace. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that's their, by the way, Babylonian names. They're Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. That's their real names. And so they get ready to throw. They come and they blow the big trumpet, and everybody's down on their knees except three guys standing out in the crowd. You could see them pretty easily because they're like this, and everybody else is down. Somebody said, those guys aren't bowing down. And they brought them up here and said, what do you think you're doing? And they even brought him to Nebuchadnezzar. And he said, what, you guys lost your mind? They actually were his advisors. So he said, yeah, look, you're my advisors. I'm going to give you another chance. We're going to say, let the band play. They were going to play music, and everybody was going to bow down. We'll give you a second chance. And they said, listen, it doesn't matter whether you give us 100 chances. We're never going to bow down because we worship only one God. He said, I'm going to throw you in the fiery furnace. And they said, whether you throw us in the fiery furnace or not, we're not bound down. And whether God chooses to deliver us, because he could if he wanted to, but whether he does or not, we're not bound down because we're not going contrary to the Bible. They threw them in the fiery furnace. They didn't burn up. In fact, Jesus appeared there with them because there were four in there. When Nebuchadnezzar looked in, he said, I thought I threw three in there, but there's four of them, and they're walking around, and one looks like the son of a god. That's what he said. And then the three guys came out, and no smell, nothing burned. And Nebuchadnezzar went, wow, that's pretty powerful. Nobody says anything bad about the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The book of Daniel, we studied that. We studied it not too long ago. It is such an incredible book. Such an incredible book. So there are examples where people say, okay, we're going to disobey, but we will also accept whatever the consequences are. Because when Peter, James, and John, when they said you cannot talk about Jesus, they said we'll obey God rather than men. And they knew what that meant. They killed James, by the way. They cut his head off. They killed him. Killed him with the sword. And they were going to kill Peter, too. And God delivered him. So if we say the law is contrary to the Bible, and we're going to obey the Bible, even though we're doing what God wants us to do, there could be consequences. Okay. The second thing, I got to go a little faster. I took longer than I thought. The second thing we have to do, and then we can talk about this fast because nobody likes to talk about this, we got to pay taxes. Look, render to all what is due to them. Tax to who is due, custom to whom is due, fear to whom is due, honor to whom is due. That's there. It came with the issues about what about taxes? What about paying taxes? And Jesus, Paul writes in Romans that you got to do that. We're to pay taxes. I mean, I hate to say this, we have to pay taxes to the government. And we all think that it's unfair. And we say, well, it's way too many taxes. I mean, we could say, what if it was the same amount for everybody? What if everybody had to pay 10%? Or what if everybody had to pay 5% or something? But, you know, when you got all this stuff, and this person pays this, and this person pays this, and it takes Maxine to figure out exactly what you're supposed to do with if you're going to get anything back or not. I mean, just the idea. And we say, no, if he says it. Because they came to Jesus in Matthew 22, and they tried to trick him. And they said, is it lawful to pay to Caesar or not? And they were talking about a poll tax that Caesar demanded that the Jewish people had to pay a certain amount every year. And so they thought they'd get Jesus, because if he said yes, everybody would go, ha, you're for the government of Rome. If he said no, they would turn him over to the Roman government so they thought they had him. And he just said, you guys are hypocrites. Bring me a coin. So they brought him a coin. And he said, whose likeness in inscriptions on this coin? And they said, well, it's that Caesar guy. Okay, then you give to Caesar what's Caesar's, and you give to God so what God. You know what I always thought about this? Whose image is on that coin? Caesar's. Whose image are we made in? God. So we give to Caesar what's Caesar's, but we give to God what's God's. We are God's. You know, that's what Jesus was saying. So pay taxes. You know, we say, golly, I hate our taxes. But do you realize that a normal Jewish guy, okay, think about this at the time of Christ, a normal Jewish guy gave 10% every year to the priest, an additional 10% every year to the temple, that's 20%, Every third year, an additional 10%. So some years they gave 30% just to the temple area. That's not counting the Roman taxes. And the Roman taxes were, they were huge. In fact, some of them estimated that the Roman taxes were 50%. So some Jewish people gave around 60 or 70% of everything they got went to some kind of tax, whether it was to the temple or to the Romans. Ours is not that bad. Now, so there's some people running for government that want it to be that bad for us. But we're fortunate. When you think what these people were going through and they challenged Jesus, you're supposed to pay to Caesar? Well, whose image is on it? Whosever image is on it. So three things and I'm going to give you the third one here in just a second, but we submit to the government, we pay taxes, and we pray for our leaders, and we're going to see that next week. That'll be the third thing that we do, and it says, first of all, then I urge that entreaties and petitions, prayers on behalf of all men, and then it goes on to say, those that are in leadership and authority and kings. And so next week we'll talk about that one. And so we've seen some neat things. So let me give you some applications, and then we can get to our grow groups if you want to. Number one is, let's realize the role of the government. The role of the government is really ordained by God to protect citizens within and without. There's got to be order. You got to be able to drive your car without somebody running into you. You got to be able to live in your house without somebody just breaking in and stealing everything they've got and shooting and killing you. There's got to be order in a system that you've got to be able to walk around without the fear of somebody's going to kill you. I mean, you've just got to have an ordered system. That's why there's police and there's firemen and there's government officials and there's rules and laws. You've got to have that. And so it's okay that's the goal, but that it's ordained by God to protect citizens. He says if you go contrary to the laws of your government, expect the discipline that comes from breaking the laws. The second thing is, let's fulfill our role in the government. We only saw two of the three this morning. The first one is, be subject to the government, come under the government authority. That means, and we said that there are times that you can disobey. If it's contrary to the Bible, if the government tells you to do something. Now, I always throw this out because people say, well, what about abortion? The government allows abortion. Yeah, it doesn't demand abortion. It doesn't say that every woman after two children must abort that baby, or every woman has a boy baby must abort that baby. Or it doesn't say that. The law gives the right for people to abort their children, which we hate, but it doesn't make you abort your children. Now, if the law ever said, after two children, anything that comes after that, you're going to have to abort it. Then we're going to have to make decisions. You know, we got enough people crazy out there that think the whole world's going to be gone in 12 years. And so who knows? There are people out there saying, we're not having children. I said, well, that's good. Let's don't reproduce you, right? That's a good idea. Let's don't reproduce you. But I'm sorry. But anyway, so be subject to the government or else reap the consequences. There's time to disobey. And then the second thing is pay the taxes, which I hate to do, and get with Maxine. She'll help you figure out pay the less taxes possible. Is that right, Maxine? Now, she'll say, you're going to pay the taxes you're supposed to pay. Yeah. Thanks a lot, Maxine. But anyway, that's what she does for us.